Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
He's getting out their monthly bulletin on the internet for the West End Neighborhood Association. We have about 8 of these neighborhood associations in Portland. Yeah. And so he puts up there the lie that Sam Sutter didn't use Sam's name. That's good. An individual in the West End got himself in the rank. What a lie. We're working on him, and he doesn't want to have anything to do with us. You know it. He will not talk to our lawyer. He won't even talk to the police chief's attorney about it. Okay. 1 week later, the Portland Police Department, to give them credit, gets out the most incredible, complete report on what happened. Sam victim, Fred Dodge suspect, but he was never arrested or charged. He's still walking the streets of Portland in the USA with a gun, okay? Never arrested or charged. But the police department report has all of the witness statements attached, eyewitness statements, 1 eyewitness and 5 regular witnesses who saw the guy coming down the street, threatening to murder Sam.
Why?
And then has all of the detectives' reports on every minute of it. It has the patrolman, wonderful guy who probably did save Sam's life, because, you know, you're meant to get someone shot through the femur within 10 minutes bleed out, right? They waited 22 minutes to call emergency medical. So Sam didn't hit the hospital for 35 minutes, but he survived, although he was in 4th-stage hypovolemic shock. They brought him back. Well, that must have been the police chief's greatest nightmare he could ever imagine in his whole life, and the attorney, the district attorney, and the attorney general who's running for governor, because she was in charge. She's running for governor in Maine in November. So anyway, that story, totally opposite of what the community-oriented policing system guy told, published publicly on the internet, a lie. So Sam, in a way, is a poster boy for those
Why did this happen?
Why?
Yes.
Because they want to get Fred Dodge off.
Okay.
Their plan to kill Sam backfired. He didn't die.
Right.
So they got to do a cover-up. And the fact it was a cover-up is the fact they locked all the files. The Dodgers are big files are locked. Can't get into them. We you know, our lawyer did motions to open it up. Nope. They're locked forever. Under the First Amendment, this is the Constitution. Throw it in the dump. Take it to the dump.
Yeah.
Okay. That is such an interesting story about, because people don't believe you unless you've been shot, right?
Yeah.
And come back. If Sam had not come back, this story would never be made available. They brought him back. The fire department is in bed with the police departments all over the country. You know that now.
No.
After it happened, Sam wasn't really up to talking with any of them about anything. But he did call the fire department because he wondered why the ambulance was so late getting there. And the fire chief, you know, ordinarily fire chiefs are really great when we used to have volunteer fire departments and all that stuff.
Yeah.
They're your friends. He was really rude to Sam. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, "And this is the first time I've ever had anybody call us to complain," and hung up.
Wow. You know, that actually makes a lot of sense, although the majority of the the regular firefighters probably have little to no idea.
They don't. And police, you know, like these great police. Look at Sergeant Bennis. No, Coleman Bennis, who came in. He was first on the scene.
Right.
He did call. He called for emergency medical immediately. He applied the tourniquet to Sam's femoral. He got the truth out of Sam Ickerley's mouth. Sam was dying.
Right.
And he had to ask him three times. He made that effort. You know, he got the crown jewels, didn't he?
Yeah.
Sam, who shot you? Sam says nothing. He's dying. He asks him again. He still says nothing. He does it a third time. And Sam says, Fred Dodge. He got it. He saved Sam, really. If Sam was saved by the surgeon and all that trauma team that night, thank God, they were fantastic what they did. It was because, I think, because of the tremendous work that trauma team did, but also had Bennis not done that, they wouldn't have anything to work with. They wouldn't have had anything to work with. So he is a great hero, Sergeant Michael Bennis. Listen, you know what they did to him to punish him? Wait, this is funny. This story really is funny sometimes. We know what the police chief did? Took him off the street. He's a patrolman. Job he loved. And did a great job, didn't he? Huh?
Yeah.
He assigned him to one of the schools, the high school in Portland, the COPS program. That's his reward. His punishment. You got a big story there, right over where you're taping it. That's a big story that you got on top.
Wow. You know, I went to the link, the other link that you had sent me just now with the whole map, from the Chicago architects and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There was a link that I saw a number of years ago. It was called the... what's it called here? It's the President's Task Force on 21st Century
right.
Policing. And I went to click on the link at the DOJ, usdoj.gov,
yep.
and it was gone. So I had to go back to the Wayback Machine, of course.
Yeah.
And thank God for that Wayback Machine, huh? The Internet Archive.
Oh, I know.
And here it is. And my God. Just people. Sure, we're going to have to do. I hate to say this, but we're going to have to do a future episode that is the dumbed down, for lack of a better term, episode of explaining this to people who have never heard about any of this stuff before. Because it's hard for people. I get it now because I've been saturating myself in it for so long, so I get it. But the average American just doesn't get what, probably, listening to this show, people who are our listening audience is very informed, so they're going to get it. But I need to be able to present this to just the average Joe out there, and we're going to, if you don't mind, I would like to do a series of interviews with you, and maybe do one like that on COPS, one like that on education, and so on, where we start off and you can basically just explain it to, like you're explaining it to a 14-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Because, we know all of these names and we know all these things and we're flowing right along, and before you know it, a lot of other people are kind of scratching their heads a little bit. But, God.
It took me a long time. I always said I find everything sort of like walking backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess I was meant to take a long time. I should have. I think it was the good Lord just intended me to hang in a long time because I was slow getting it.
Well, I'm really surprised you're still alive and I don't mean in the natural sense.
Yeah, I know. I am too. I really don't know, and I often ask, why am I? I'm perfectly healthy. It's unbelievably healthy, and my memory has always been extremely good, and I was given that, but I don't know why I am. The fact I am gives me hope that maybe we can turn the thing around, but we can't as long as we're all divided. Well, the left and the right are so divided.
I agree.
They had to do that. They had to do that.
You know, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of this thing too. I'm always blasting the libtards, and I have to stop. I have to stop doing that. I mean.
Well, you have to, and what you have to do is you have to identify what the Heritage Foundation, which is the nation's most important conservative group with a different name, perhaps in every state, their role in this since 1979. And you start out by saying, Hillary Clinton did not design socialized medicine. And people go, who did? And you say, Stuart Butler from the UK came into Heritage. He was the first one to write it up. He designed the enterprise groups, you know, enterprise zones. That's communist.
Yeah.
Public-private partnerships, see? They got to understand that. Then they go on, and you have my office involved in school choice and charters, pushing that nation at risk. That big report, that phony report, that the Sandia group, you know, the admiral wrote and said the Americans were lied to about American education being so bad in the early 80s. It wasn't. They had to have an excuse, create the problem, people scream, impose the solution. Okay. So we have that Nation at Risk report. Then we have Reagan signing agreements with Gorbachev. You have Carnegie signing agreements with the Soviet Academy of Science. You know, teaching critical thinking to little kids on the computer in first grade. And Lenin defined critical thinking for everybody. Everybody thinks critical thinking is so important to teach. What did he say? It's evolutionary thinking. Your thinking evolves. There are no absolutes like God.
Yeah.
Or right or wrong. Lenin identified. Sam has it on his website. He has all these little tracts written by Lenin that he received from the father in intelligence, or a friend of ours in World War II. We got the whole collection from him.
I should probably start going over his website and yours and doing videos.
Oh, you should. You should. The stuff on the Masons, who was it who said that? Paul Fisher, who wrote Behind the Lodge Door. And he was probably the expert on the Masons in the world. He's considered that. He told Bob Goldsboro, who was knew Norman Dodd, all involved in the investigation of tax-exempt foundations, that one that was shut down, right? He told Goldsboro that Sam's information at American Deception on Masonry was the most important he had ever seen at American Deception.
Are you the one that controls your YouTube channel? Do you directly do that, or does somebody do it for you?
What's your name? The teacher, the retired teacher? Jane Aiken in New Hampshire controls it.
Okay. If I were to get with her, if I were to go like on American Deception and deliver Dumb It Down in some of these articles, here's the thing. People read far less, and they're watching far more video content.
Yeah.
And I would like to make video presentations of these articles, but they terminated my YouTube channel. Millions of views, tens of thousands of subscribers, they terminated it.
Really?
So if I were to do these small productions.
YouTube channel.
Huh?
How do they terminate your YouTube channel?
Google did.
Door closed? Sunroom one?
Yeah.
It's pouring rain. Yeah. Hi. Yeah,
they terminated it. The reason that they gave me was, it was 30 minutes after I did an interview with Clive and Bundy, but I found out what the nail in the coffin was. I did an interview with a police officer, an active duty constable in the state of Pennsylvania, who was, first he was a Marine, decorated, and then he got out of the Marines and he re-enlisted in the Army or vice versa. So he was a decorated veteran, a active duty constable, and he reached out to me and he said, you know, I have a story on this Boston bombing situation.
Okay.
Right. It was just a hot topic because he had a friend in Homeland Security, and so he was making some pretty, it was a pretty strong allegation, but he had said that his friend in Homeland Security had reached out to him about 2 months before the Boston bombing and said, there's going to be a major incident in a North American city. Don't believe anything you see. Don't believe anything you hear. And at the time, he was creating a company that mm-hmm. would protect the ships because of his military experience. It was like a private contracting thing where they were doing a security force for shipping. So this guy in Homeland Security was reaching out to him to see if he had completed that yet, and he was looking to get out of Homeland Security because he didn't want anything to do with it. He said it's the modern day Stasi. He said it's just he wants no parts of it anymore, but he wanted to have something to fall back on. Anyway, so I go to Pennsylvania and I do an interview with him. Now, this isn't what I'm saying. This is what he's saying, right?
Yeah.
I'm just reporting on what somebody else is saying. Well, they said that content violated their terms of service and was so inflammatory that they would not reinstate the channel. And I challenged it. I appealed it. I did everything short but getting a lawyer, which I think may be my next step. But anyway, so do I know if this is true or not? Well, the officer, who is a very respected constable in his area, he seemed very compelling, and he didn't have any, certainly had nothing to gain from coming forward. But he did this presentation, you know, to the American people, and he's like, folks, this is what I'm telling you, take it for what it's worth.
Yeah.
And so then we see one of the Sarnoff brothers, who's in handcuffs and almost buck naked. He's in police custody. The next thing, he's dead. Then they bring in, somebody that they thought may be linked with him for interrogation. Now, Here's the story. The FBI is in there, and this guy's in an interrogation room, and allegedly there's some sort of samurai sword that they collected from his house or something, somehow in the room or something like that. But anyway, this guy ends up shot. In the interrogation room, handcuffed, they said that he attacked them, and they basically executed him. So, I mean, you have all of these things that happen. This sounds like, you know, you might as well go to 1950s Russia. And do I know that any of what the man said? Well, I don't know if it's true or not, but my whole point is this, and my point with YouTube was, I'm not saying this. I'm just reporting it. I mean, if you want to take the video down is one thing, but to terminate my channel, that's, it's just, you know, I had 1,100 videos, 6 years worth of work,
all of
our research, everything just completely gone. I have articles that just have, you know, that speak briefly about the video that I made with a big gray spot. So,
how awful. This is
well, that's what they're doing.
You had no backup. It wouldn't work even if you did, probably.
No, because now I would publish a video and I'd get thousands of hits in the first hour. Now I have a backup channel, and I think they have me set on an algorithm that basically, you know, I get like 50 views, 100 views.
Yeah.
It's just not worth my time.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
It's not worth my time to do video production and post it to it was our archive channel. I only used it for archives, and all of our archives I kept private. I just kept them, just because, never did I think that, I would be purged. It's just so creepy what they're doing. So I have, I'm now on a couple different platforms, and I'm trying to build them up, Real.video, BitChute, D2, but I'm trying to find the right one. And I was speaking with somebody who's a benefactor who's interested in supporting what we're doing. She thinks it's important work. So we're talking about actually creating our own platform independent of any other platform. But that's going to be a few months out at least. So anyway, like I was saying, so if I go to American Deception or deliberate dumbing down, and I take these articles and we make video presentations out of them, would you be interested in hosting them on your channel?
Yeah, I mean, look, let me give you Jane's telephone number. It is Jane Aiken. Aiken is her last name, A-I-T-K-E-N. Her telephone number is 603 472.
You know what? Stop right there. Email it to me because we're recording.
I'll email it to you. Okay.
Yes, email it because I don't want to give everybody your number.
Oh yeah. Okay. Here, I will. I'm going to. What are the first initials of your thing?
RTR.
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 All right. Yeah.
Republic RTR.
Jane. I'll just put Jane. Okay.
Yeah.
As the subject, and the telephone is 6. It's done, New Hampshire.
Yeah. Don't say that.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay.
I love
okay.
you.
I'm going up. Just told me not to do it, and I did it, right? Okay. That's like my mother. That's what I would do. Tell me not to say it, I go do it. 8-8. Okay. Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Got it. I'm sending it.
Okay.
And your lover, her dad was a very famous musician out of Massachusetts. I got the obituary of him. With all the big shots, you know, the big ones in the 50s and 60s. Very famous. He died at 90 something last year. Anyway, she's terrific. 35 years in the public school system in New Hampshire. She's also an artist. She started teaching art, right? And then went on, and she said she was one of the speakers that are exposing the global road to ruin through education. You can type that in, and type her name in, and you can listen to her presentation. So you know who you're talking to when you talk to her. She has it. That's up there on my website. She put that up. She did a wonderful job with my website.
Oh, yes. Beautiful. Really
Yeah, it's just fantastic. And I just never dreamed that it would be a public school teacher. How about it? Isn't that interesting?
Well, you know.
She's getting all my work out around the world.
There is good in all things. There's you know, I really do. What gives me hope is I do believe that that people are generally good. If they weren't generally good, then they wouldn't need to be so devious, these people, to bring about these agendas. They wouldn't have to name them something good. They appeal to what's good in your heart. It sounds, oh, that sounds wonderful. You gave a wish for this and do this for that. And, you know, everything sounds, just sounds so wonderful until you see the underlying agenda that's going on. So I think that actually gives me more hope than not that they have to be that devious to achieve these things.
Well, they're very, you know, very devious. I was just thinking about, Ann Herzer, I was talking about, the public school teacher, she found a very important document. It's the National Education Association Cardinal Principles. She found that, and it was sort of like a ditto copy of it, ditto, you know, the old purple stuff. And hard to read, and she called the NEA about this article, and they said they don't know what you're talking about. There was never such an article in NEA Today. And anyway, we retyped it. And you can look it up in the index to my big book. But the interesting thing about this is, talking about teachers, the average teacher does not know about this document because it's called their Cardinal Principles. They've had an earlier one in the early 1900s, the NEA. But this was an update for the global system in 1976. And at the top is the Planning Committee.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
This blows teachers' minds. You've got on the bottom people like T.H. Bell, Ted Sizer, all the rotten change agents, right? That
right.
We know. But at the top of the list, guess who's at the top?
Who's that?
David Rockefeller. And Skull and Bones, McGeorge Bundy. Those two are the top of, they are running the NEA. Now, what teacher would ever dream that? You've got to go look at that.
I will.
NEA's cardinal principles. Herger, you know, the teacher I was talking about, who blew the whistle on the method, she, I don't know how she ever found that. Where, I don't know how. You can ask her. You should call her.
Oh, I will.
She's in Kentucky now. They had a cabin down there that they used to go in the summer. It's so hot in Arizona. You know, and her husband died a few years ago, so she's trying to sell the cabin. So she's down there, and she's incommunicado, but you could write her name down, and if you ever want to talk to her, do. I mean, she's a great American. Her relatives were the Revolutionary War. So were mine. You know.
So were mine.
With all of us, with Washington.
Yep.
You too, huh?
Yep. It's kind of funny how we're all being drawn together now, huh?
That's really interesting.
Yeah. And yeah, my family goes back into Fall River, Massachusetts.
Oh, Fall River.
My family's Stewart, Crandall, Andrews, okay. Borden, Dodson.
Oh boy, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, all those names. I mean, it's just so amazing that these, you know, there are quite a few of us who are related, and they are concerned of revolution. But, you know, stupid, what is Daughters of the American Revolution? I'm a member. I don't know why. It's so stupid. I mean, they do nothing. These women. And that huge headquarters down near the White House, what do they do? Nothing. And if you tell them something like what we're talking about today, they don't want to touch it. You know, when I got the information out of the agreements with the Soviets, this is the American Legion. In Maine, they were really upset. A huge box full of stuff. They voted in Maine. This is before Maine went left. Completely left off the cliff, huh? They voted unanimously repeal this thing. I sent a box down to Washington, D.C. to the National American Legion. They wouldn't touch it.
No.
The word
you're looking
out?
Right here, the cardinal principles of secondary education. Well, God, you know, I could probably refocus the majority of my work onto the stuff that you have on your website.
Well, it's all, you know, the good thing about it is I had the blog, ABCs of dumbdownblogspot.com. That's still there. There are a lot of good stuff on there. ABCs of OF dumbdown. blogspot.com. Now
it's ABCs of, isn't it?
ABCs of OS. Yeah, ABCs of dumbdown.blogspot.com. And you know what's interesting? I think it's right up the top. There was an educator who could, you see his, he wrote a review for Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been in education for a long time, I think, 30, 40 years. And he considered himself more to the left.
Right.
And he wrote a review of my book. And he said it was such dynamite. He said it makes Pearl Harbor and whatever else, the bombing, you know, 9/11, look unimportant. The contents of the book, Deliver Dumbing Down. This is a left-wing educator putting a review at Amazon about my book. That's at my blog, ABCs of Dumb Dumb. I think it comes up first, the review from Amazon.
Yes, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, when I found the letter, you know, I wrote the thing that Manchurian, what is it, Patriots or Manchurian Candidate? You know that one.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, that's another real goodie because that has the note, the picture of Ronald Reagan's note to Ed Meese wanting to meet me.
Uh-huh.
Ed Meese, of course, stopped that. There he is again, Mr. Heritage.
Oh, my aching bacon.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. There's no reason why I should have all this information. And there's no reason why I should have this memory.
Yes, there is.
There's no reason why I should be this healthy.
Yes, there is.
Well, yeah, I guess, yes.
God.
I do not take credit for it. You know, I went to business school and I was having trouble. I didn't go to 4 years college. I knew it was all commie stuff, liberal arts. And so I went to Catherine Gibson. And I remember I was having trouble with shorthand. The head of Catherine Gibson said, you know, she said, are you sure you want to be a secretary? And she said, isn't there anything else you're interested in life? I said, I really love to play tennis. But I got so upset with not being able to get the shorthand right that I decided how to do it. I said, listen, what you have to do, Cheryl, you have to listen carefully to what is being said. And you can write it down then. You write it down, but you're listening. You're not just writing words.
Right.
You're putting it in your brain. So I started doing that, and I ended up graduating first in my class. I learned how to do it.
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah, I did. That's
you
the most difficult.
What destroyed me, I was in criminal law. For criminal, yeah. And Lyme disease crept up on me. I was infected with Lyme disease when I was about 12. Started
really?
Becoming really symptomatic.
Were we
Well, I was in New Jersey, but we would travel between New Jersey and Vermont. So, I got the red ring, bullseye, the whole nine yards. But at the time, we didn't know what it was.
Yep.
And we didn't know where it came from, right? We know where it comes from now.
Oh, you know we know where it comes from.
Oh, I know.
Right?
Plum Island, Trout.
Oh, yeah. You ought to talk,
all that.
You ought to talk to Sam. Sam would love to talk to you. You're so knowledgeable. Yeah.
Well, my dear, I'm not college educated because.
Yeah.
I mean, my criminal law professor brought me into, I went to take a test and I went blank. My criminal law professor brings me in, I'm sitting down talking to him, we're just having a conversation. And the conversation, I can recall through the conversation everything that he taught. But when I would go to sit and take the test,
yeah,
and I would just go blank. I couldn't, and I wasn't test taking anxiety because I had no anxiety.
Yeah.
I would just literally go blank. So my professor allowed my girlfriend at the time to come in and try and talk me through the test. It just wasn't working, and I got so frustrated. I can't even explain it. And you know, everybody, oh, he's lazy. There's nothing wrong with him. I went through the whole gambit of the family saying, you know, he's just lazy. He's spoiled. You know, no. No, I'm trying to tell you there's something wrong. And so I went to the doctor. I was in pain. They put me on painkillers because I was in excruciating pain. And at some point they had to say, well, look, we can't find anything wrong with you. So they cut me off cold turkey from painkillers. From there, I self-medicated. That did not turn out well. Nobody should self-medicate themselves with that kind of stuff. But I was in such pain that it was either I did that or put a bullet in my head.
Yeah.
So anyway, long story short, I got into trouble with the law and all of that. And it was only through the grace of God, a very, very awesome mother, that I pulled myself out of it. And I started seeking natural cures. And some of the natural cures that I found alleviated the worst of the symptoms. But I went into stage four. I ended up in a coma. It almost killed me. Yeah, it almost killed me. It almost killed my aunt, too. Put her in a coma, too. So, horrible stuff. And at the time I was at my worst sickness, doctors were being threatened for treating for it. They were actually being threatened.
I've got to write that story up. That is, was it Lyme disease or what was the other thing it was called? What's it?
Well, they call it fibromyalgia, but it's Lyme disease. That's what it is.
Yeah, fibromyalgia. And you
had that was the ghost term for Lyme disease.
Okay. And you were 14 years old?
About 12 when I got bit.
12 when you got bitten. And then how long? It lasted 4 years?
Well, it lasted a lot longer than that. It was, I never used a drug that was not prescribed to me until I was about 29. At the point where I got to be 29, I mean, I had the problems in school with the memory, I was in a fog. I would sleep for like 2 weeks at a time. I'm just lethargic, all kinds of problems.
Oh,
and,
awful.
Know,
Well, look, I didn't know that Lyme disease, of course, it was developed by us, right?
Of course.
Fibromyalgia, I had never heard it referred to as fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah. Well, because doctors couldn't treat people for Lyme disease, but they still had patients coming to them with all of these symptoms. So what else are they going to call it? They can't call it Lyme disease. They can't treat for Lyme disease. When actually the thing that really makes me upset about the whole thing is that, you know, if you get bit by the tick and you go on an antibiotic regimen, it wipes it out. But if you don't, it builds up, it goes, and eventually you go through stages, and then stage four crosses through the blood-brain barrier. And once it gets into your brain, it is extremely difficult to eradicate. I mean, you can knock it back, but then, you know, I'll be fine. I'll be going about my day, and then, you know, maybe like that for weeks, and then I'll have a bout, you know, and I'll
you
just
still have this?
Oh yes, oh yes.
You do?
Yes. It literally, I want to say it destroyed my life, because I didn't have the life that my dad, my brother had. My father went to law school, became a judge, became a lawyer. My brother became a lawyer, became a judge. My other brother, became a doctor. And me, I'm doing a radio talk show host now. You're trying to use my
life. I mean, honestly, I'm so glad I talked to you this morning. I mean, to get all your background like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. But look what you ended up doing. I mean, they all became lawyers. You became a talk show guy. I mean,
yeah, and not for anything, but I don't have as much. I have respect for my dad, but I don't have respect for the legal profession.
Really? You know what? You know, Samuel. Again, off here. The first case he had, the pop in the head one, and they mm-hmm. gave him the audio. The stupid mm-hmm. in Discovery. Mm-hmm. Which has the audio that, we, you know, if he'd move, pop him in the head. Well, Sam, he fought that on his own. He did not use a lawyer.
Good for him.
And it was dismissed. And, look, well, they were scared to death. But they were also scared of him for other reasons, I guess, because he went in during the dispositional conference
mm-hmm.
This is the sister-in-law of the attorney general who's running for governor. Same name, Mills. She was a judge during that dispositional hearing. And Sam went in regard to the pop and that thing, and that case, you know, and, she looked at him and she said, don't come back in here without a lawyer.
Yeah,
Is that allowed?
It's not, but they need you to do that. And there's a lot of rabbit holes we've gone down with this situation.
We mentioned that to our lawyer. He's good.
Well,
happens, you know, they can. Isn't that against the Constitution?
Yes, it is. Everything's, I have a theory about the Constitution, too. In 1868, 11 states' delegates were forced out of the ratification process of the 14th Amendment at gunpoint. We were overthrown in 1868. 1868, the 14th Amendment, which was never, I swear to you, it was never lawfully ratified. I have all of the evidence on this. This is where I started with my talk shows. I read back through the congressional record going all the way back, and I went down some rabbit holes. There was the original 13th Amendment that was disappeared off the Constitution in 1812 that was ratified in 1810 that would have made foreign agents, titles of nobility, all of that, essentially you wouldn't be able to hold any kind of public office, period.
Right.
Okay. So, we have to look at where the root of the Bar Association is.
Okay,
where is the root? So it kind of goes down that rabbit hole. So while I was in researching all of that, I kind of fell into this 14th Amendment, which, of course, this 14th Amendment that Obama felt, that, you know, that empowered health care and all of these other things that came, civil rights, all these things. What people don't talk about is that it created a national citizen. We were, up until the 14th Amendment, we were citizens of our state. Once the 14th Amendment came in, it created U.S. citizenship. So it took us from citizens of our state to the nationalized citizen. And then the next step, of course, from the nationalized citizen is going to be the global citizen, right? So it was a step in the process.
Okay, you know, this is so, I'm really bad. I know the Constitution, but I don't know the ramifications of all this stuff. I mean, I went to prep school where I didn't learn a damn thing.
Well, they don't teach you this in prep school.
What?
They don't teach you any of this in school.
Look, I think I've mentioned before, I got in there in 45, huh? Alger, Hiss, UN, all that.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
they were, they had, what's it called, World Federalist Club?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I was a member. I joined, you know, I was innocent, you know, but I smelled a rat. That was the beginning of my smelling rats. Boy, it took me a long time. In 1945, little Charlotte is being exposed to world government through Dana Hall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that my, okay. And now here we are in 2000, we're talking on the phone, 2018?
Mm-hmm.
48. 50. How many years later? Come on. How mm-hmm. long does it take for it? Look, we're talking about educating the American people?
Yeah.
Look how long it took to educate me.
No, I get it. You know, our founders were, many of them, even though some of them went to some pretty good schools, for the most part, they were self-taught. They had huge libraries.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at the 14th Amendment for a moment, from a perspective of a conspiratorial perspective, all persons, well, what is a person?
Yeah.
Person is defined as corporation. So all corporations were individuals born or naturalized in the United States.
How can they define a person as a corporation?
Well, it was called the Person Act, and that was passed immediately prior to the 14th Amendment being forced into law. Congress redefined, yes, the Person Act. They redefined person to also include the term corporation. So if you read this like a lawyer, all corporations born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof is a very interesting term too. Since the sovereignty comes from the people created the government, you know, God, people, the government, right? So, subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. They're dual citizens.
Okay.
Dual allegiance. You can't serve two masters.
Right.
You can't. So what they did was they took a union, which was a compact, an agreement between independent nation states, and with the 14th Amendment, they literally created a nationalized citizenship. There was a man who wrote a book called The Red Amendment. His name is L.B. Bork, and a lot of his work and our work coincide. He called it the Communist Amendment because of what it ushered in. So now it says...
I want to write mm-hmm. that down. Hold on. What's it called? The Red what? The Red Amendment?
The Red Amendment. Yeah, the Red Amendment.
The Red...
The Red Amendment by L.B. Bork. B-O-R-K.
L? C for Charles?
No, B as in boy. L.B. Bork.
B-O-R-K?
Yes, the Red Amendment.
Okay. All right, fine. All right.
So check this out. Now, if you cannot...
When did he write that?
I think the last revision was 2 years ago, but he wrote it a number of years ago.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and it's you can find it on Amazon. I'd get the latest edition. But all of our work, all of our research, we have an article called Reconstruction Replacement Government. A lot of these things that were being done by, and like we've always said, they're always done for good. Oh, we're going to free the slaves. Well, Abraham Lincoln couldn't have given a damn about the slaves.
Nothing.
So everything we're taught. I drive through the inner city of Camden, New Jersey, Abraham Lincoln High School. That in and of itself kind of blows my mind. But anyway. Section 4 of the 14th Amendment says, the validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, comma, this is important if you understand the law, including debts incurred for the payment of pensions and bounties for services in suppressing the insurrection or rebellion, comma, and whenever it says including, and there's another comma at the end, in law you can just put but not limited to. So basically what it says is that the debts for this, authorized by law, it goes on to say, shall not be questioned.
Wow.
Shall not be. So you can't even question the validity of the public debt by law in the 14th Amendment, which is Section 4 of the 14th Amendment in and of itself, without any of the other treason that went along of accomplishing this, makes it null. Marbury v. Madison, anything that doesn't comport with the Constitution is null and void. So they knew that they would pass laws that would be, they knew that there will be unconstitutional laws passed. So,
I'm going to have to run. Tom, getting to know you this way, I mean, you know, wow. I mean, this has been like, great for now and
Well, if you don't mind, I don't know how busy you are, but I would like to do this regularly, if you don't mind.
Oh, absolutely. You know, absolutely. I mean, I'm just so blown away by your I can't believe what you've been through with Lyme disease all your life.
Sometimes things happen for a reason, and I just have to give it to God.
You're still suffering from it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I cannot believe it. Look, is this the number I can always get you at?
Always.
Okay, look, yeah. I do have to go because we're in the middle of a big rainstorm here, and we've got a guy who's going to be working on the house. I want to know whether he's going to leave or not. I've got to go talk to him fast.
Okay.
But we're in touch completely, and I will, if you need anything in particular, links or whatever, just let me know what you need.
I will.
Send my love to John because, you know, John's my boyfriend.
I will. I told him already.
I love to tell him he's good looking. You know, I told you what I said. I told him that Sam had said he looked like Dick Cheney. That was the biggest insult I could ever.
Oh my God! No, he doesn't.
Bob Miller. You know, he says what? I said, oh yeah, a very good looking one with a fuller face and younger and without that nasty expression. And then
so he doesn't look like him at all, then.
Okay. Well, I mean, could you imagine telling him he looks like Dick Cheney? Well, I have to close out now, but I thought you'd get a kick out of that one.
Okay.
Okay, listen, thank you so much. And
what times are usually good to
any time, you know, just after 9 o'clock in the morning and before 8 o'clock at night, sort of, you know, or maybe, you know, that's fine. I go to bed early and I get up early.
Okay.
Very good. Take care. Best to your wife.
All right. God bless you. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte is her beat.
Now for know-how.
Keeping it simple is usually a good thing. And when it comes to rewards programs, keeping it simple is always a good thing.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.